Welcome and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or helpfromchristministries@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 46. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program.
We're reading through the Bible, and today we have part 3 of a piece of literature that the Lord gave me, entitled Another Pearl Harbor. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint outwardly this service. Father, we thank and praise Your holy name for Your word, for the salvation and healing and all the other provisions that You provided for us, defense, the way that You are showing people that You're God. Lord, we ask that You anoint this service outwardly so that people can grow spiritually inwardly. Open up everyone's spiritual eyes that they may see that this is the truth, and open up their spiritual ears so they can receive it into their life, their very soul. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
You know, it really sickens me when It just happened to turn on, usually I don't do this, but I turned on the television the other day to watch a broadcast, and they were talking about marriage, and they were saying that he said he just wasn't a very good husband, he didn't communicate enough with his wife, and so she thought it apropos to commit adultery on her husband. And his pastor said that he should be very compassionate towards her, because he did something wrong. He didn't talk to her enough, or he didn't communicate with her enough, and so therefore that makes it okay to commit adultery. But I want to communicate to you that this is why the Bible talks about there's going to be a great falling away in the last days. It just looks like there's a great big move of God with these people that call themselves Christians, but they have a different gospel than the one that I read in the Bible. The Bible, Jesus said, the Word of God, which is Jesus, and Jesus Himself said, when He was in His human body on this earth, that you're not to have any mercy on those kind of people. You're to divorce them if they do that. And her husband said, why did you do that? And she said, well, this man just kept talking to me and communicating to me. And that's what you are not doing. She says, so finally he just got under my skin, and I did this terrible thing, but will you forgive me? Well, this is a cardinal sin, and it's the only one that the Lord said that you can divorce your wife. I guess it used to be in the Old Testament, because of the hardness of people's hearts, that they could divorce their wife if they burnt the toast or something, just any excuse that you wanted to. But the New Testament says the only way that you can is if your wife commits adultery. And so, first of all, the woman shouldn't have been communicating with another man. That's number one. And she shouldn't be listening to another man, because when she kept doing that, she was opening the door. Now, one of the other people said, well, if there's something wrong with your wife or there's something wrong with your husband, they were talking about the grass being greener on the other side of the fence. That you always think that some other man is better than the one that the Lord gave you. And so he says, like, if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, this other minister was saying, well, then what you should do is water the grass on your side of the fence. Amen?
Amen.
I thought that was pretty good. If there's something wrong with your husband, then there might be something wrong with you, and you should water that dry grass, because it's your fault. And it really doesn't make any difference. If you married him, you're stuck with the dude until the day you die. And so you should really make sure that who you're marrying is a person of the Lord anyway. If it's really a man of the Lord, he is watering his wife. He's making sure that she hears the gospel. He's providing for her physically. That is, if she is due being given a physical benevolence. It says only if it is due that she is to get benevolence. But if she has lied to you, or if she's flirting with other men, or if she is doing something that she's not communicating with you, or she's vicious with other people or yourself, or if she's morbid and deliberately morbid with you and with others. She's not morbid. She doesn't do any benevolence at all. She's not doing the job of a wife. And then if she turns around and tries to blame you for not communicating enough when she is someone that you want to teach her a lesson and put her in ward, as the psalmist David did and other people in the Bible did. They always kept their wives at home, and no one was allowed to come in and communicate with them because the woman is a weaker vessel. Now, I'm sure I'll get a lot of flack because I'm telling you what the Bible says, but a lot of people don't care at all what the Bible says, and that's why there's so much divorce, so much adultery, fornication, narcotics, and drugs, and every other thing on the face of this earth that are causing people to be part of the great falling away. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about in the last days, just before Jesus comes back to earth again, that there'd be a great falling away. Well, people are going to church, according to a lot of people, more than they ever have in many years. But the doctrine is not the Lord's doctrine. It is the doctrine of Satan. And they're espousing these things, which causes people to be turned off by the gospel. I know that before I was saved, I had enough common sense to know that the things that the people were doing in churches were wrong, false, evil, nauseating. And I knew the things that these supposed to be preachers of the gospel were preaching were so nauseating that I thought to myself, because I didn't realize how horrible hell was, I thought, if these people are going to be in heaven, I want to be in hell. Because I figured I'd be down there with my buddies, and we'd be playing pool, and that there'd be vending machines with cans of beer in it, soda pop, and candy bars, and these pre-packed sandwiches and things like that. You know, you could just be with the boys, and cigars, and cigarettes and stuff, because I used to be involved with all those different products. I thought, man, I don't want to be with these supposed-to-be-goody-two-shoes that say it's all right for your wife to go and commit adultery. I think this is one of the reasons why a lot of men don't want to be married. And then they say that we just have to be merciful if our wife does that. Well, I can't forgive sin. The Bible says that only God can forgive sin. And why would I want to, you know, even if I could forgive sin, I might forgive her. But I certainly wouldn't crawl in the sack with her again. I'd never go to bed with her again. No, she committed adultery. And some crazy women today can't understand that. Well, because they're so ungodly, they have no understanding of, or they don't care how a man feels that wants to be a husband, that wants to raise children. How would you know if you were the father of a child if the woman got pregnant? You would never know. Then you'd be stuck with raising a child that isn't your own. You know, if I have a field and I want to raise cotton, I want to make sure that that's all that's raised out there. But if I see strawberries out there, I'm going to know that something has gone awry, all right? The woman is supposed to be the land, and the word husbandman means the one that is the farmer. He's going to be a baby farmer when he gets married to a wife, and she's going to stay home, the Bible says, and take care of the kids in the house and make sure things are just nice and proper for her husband. But these marriage counselors, this was what that was that I saw on television yesterday, was supposed to be a marriage counselor. I was so angry, I just turned it off after I listened to make sure that that's what they were saying. And that's what they were saying, all right. Yes, that's what they were saying. And I've heard this down through the years. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that there'd be a great falling away, that Satan would actually move into the temple of God. Well, these crazy supposed-to-be Christians misinterpret that scripture, and they keep saying, and I've heard this ever since I've been saved, this is going on 41 years, that there's going to be a temple of God built in Israel. But you are the temple of God, you supposed-to-be Christians, and you Christians. And the Bible says that Satan would enter into you, false doctrine. And if you abide with this false doctrine, and you just receive it, well, then Satan has entered into you, and you're saying that he, in other words, the false doctrine, is God. And because of the fact that you do not really love the truth of the Word of God, you believe that you can commit adultery, you believe that you don't have to be benevolent to your husband, and you don't believe that he doesn't have to give you benevolence if you're not benevolent, Because you have not the love of the truth of the Word of God in you, then God, he says in the same chapter, that he'll send you strong delusion and make you believe a lie. Make you believe. He's going to force you to. And believe me, when God forces you to do something, you're going to think you're okay. That you're okay. And he says he wants you to believe that you're okay because you hate his real word. He wants you to believe that so that your soul will be damned. You know, and these people all preached love, love, love. But read the book of Revelation and read throughout the entire Bible the wrath of God from the time that he drowned the whole world because of this sort of doctrine. And he poured out his wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah, where they were wife swapping, and wives were just fellowshipping with other men, and men were having sexual relationships with other men's wives, and they were committing homosexual acts and lesbianism, and they were just doing all kinds of sin. It was like a resort, Sodom was. It was a very beautiful place, like the city of palms, palm trees, like Palm Springs, California. Very luxurious type situation, especially Rancho Mirage, which is just on the outskirts of Palm Springs. Palm Springs is sort of a secondary place now. Rancho Mirage is where Frank Sinatra had his home. Bob Hope had his home up on the hill, 40-some-odd thousand square feet up there. I was there when there was a little fire in the place. But there's Annenberg, the man that owns TV Guide. He has a huge place, and usually it's a customary thing around New Year's and Christmas time that presidents stay in Annenberg's resort. It's a very posh, beautiful, luxurious place. Well, this is the way that Sodom was. People so wealthy that they believe that their wealth can make them to be immune from the commandments of the Lord, and that nothing can harm them whatsoever. It's very much like today. Everyone thinks almost they can get credit cards if they're wealthy. They get in debt, and the dawn finally comes, and they realize, oh, wow, we can't pay these bills. And so they are victims of these different credit agencies that say, we'll consolidate all of your bills and lower your interest rates so that your payments won't be so much every month. It'll be easier. And they have these models on smiling and everything and say, look, Daddy, look, Mama, our payments are lower now, and we can really breathe a little bit easier. And then they'll see something else in the showroom floor, and they'll go by that and say, after all, you know, our payments are cut in half. The weakness of human beings. And while they're in there, the lady is, if you want to call her a lady, is with her husband, and she's eyeballing the car salesman, maybe slipping him her phone number and saying, don't call between the hours of so-and-so and so-and-so, because that way it'll make me feel a little bit better. And so on. I've been in the world. I'm now 71 years old, and I know all the little things that people do, the games that people play. So now we see a lot of people thinking they can sin and everything, and now we see hurricanes, one right after the other, hitting the Florida coast and other areas where it's just riddled with sin and false doctrine, like it's all right to starve and dehydrate Terry Schiavo in Florida. And then people wonder, what in the Hades is going on over here? Man, we just keep getting hit, and we keep getting hit. And then I saw that on the Keys, they were carrying around highballs, different drinks, you know, liquor drinks, and they were thumbing their nose at God, saying, we don't believe that anything's going to happen here. We've been hit many times. But you see all the disease. And they say they're supposed to be up to 10 and 12 foot waves cover the Keys, and the water can only rise 18 inches before it floods. So you figure it should be a pretty good flood if it goes over 10 to 18 feet, they said. Amen for their dastardly disbelief. Disbelief in the Word of God is one of the biggest sins that you could ever commit. Because if you don't believe the Word of God that says you'll go to hell for committing adultery and fornication, then you're going to go to hell and the lake of fire. And you're going to be sorry that you didn't believe the Word of God. So married couples, you say, well, we're not saved and we don't believe the Word of God. Well, I know I used to be in that place too until God came down, thundered down from heaven upon me and showed me signs and wonders and visions and supernatural dreams that I actually woke up during the dream and the visions were still coming to me. And that's the reason that I've been preaching this gospel for all these years. And I just feel so happy that God revealed these things to me, because I thought the same way you did. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been out there raising Hades the way I was doing. And believe me, everyone thought that I was the chief, the chieftain from out of hell back then. And everybody just loved me back then. But when I got saved, they thought I was the worst person on the face of this earth. And the news media and the Vatican, the biggest cult in the world, has painted me for years to my now deceased wife, Susie, that we're 100 times worse than Hitler, because we're out saving souls and doing the things that God says to do. That's what they did to Jesus. They made Jesus so evil that they were going to nail him to the cross. He was considered to be worse than murderers, because they let the murderer go, and they nailed Jesus to the cross, and they were yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The Jews, and then they said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." So they themselves called, and I'm Jewish, but they said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." So that's why the Jewish people have been cursed. Now, there's a lot of other people that are cursed too, but that's why they've been cursed for years. But God said that in the last days, just before he comes back to earth again, that we Jews would be preaching the gospel to you Gentiles out there. Not only to you Gentiles, but to the unsaved Jews as well. Now, God loves everybody, and that's why he punishes. He has to warn people that what you think is hell going on the face of this earth, and it's not Mother Nature that's causing it, and it isn't natural disasters. God is doing it, and he's doing it for a reason. He's doing it because he knows how horrible it will be. He wants you to take heed to these different plagues that he's casting down on this earth right now, so that you'll repent, so that you don't spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Because hell in the lake of fire is so much worse than any kind of catastrophe that's happening on this earth now, that you wouldn't believe it. You would pray for water to come upon you in hell, but it's a burning inferno so hot and heavy that the very elements melt down there. And you're there forever. You never get out. There's no place to get out of hell. The only one that was able to get out of there was Jesus. He paid the price for you and I. He went to hell for us, and before that, he told us the right things, the law, which is not over with. All Christ did was paid the penalty that the law demanded on our souls. By giving his own life, he said, "Now you are free, but go and sin no more, because if you do, the law is going to punish you forever." Because the law, God's word, his law is so strict that there's no way that you can keep the law unless God himself enters into you, which gives you the inner power, the inner strength to be able to keep the commandments of the Lord. So you women that like to talk to all kinds of men, you better start practicing what the Lord says. You better get yourself saved. But I find it so hard to stay away from men. And I find it so hard when they're staring at me. I just start getting Twitter-pated all over the place. Well, is Twitter-pating so important to you that you should spend millions and billions and trillions of years in hell? Well, God isn't like that. He says he is, and you think that God is lying to you or trying to use fear tactics on you because he just wants to see you tremble or something? No, you've got to be crazy to think something like that. You've got to be out of your mind to think that God's a liar. He says, "Let every man be called a liar, but let God be called the truth." God isn't trying to use fear tactics on you. He's just telling you the truth. And if you believe him, then you will fear, because God is the truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto me unless you believe the truth and the way, and if you believe life." If life eternal in heaven is more important to you than being Twitter-pated or having some kind of a sordid sex affair with somebody, and then you find out, well, they all say it was such a stupid thing to do. Well, if it was so stupid, then you're going to really think it's stupid when you spend eternity in a burning inferno. You know, like these people that are out in the world that go from one woman to another, they say there's no difference. I mean, it's like they think there's going to be some kind of thing. I remember when I was a kid, I was in an Easter egg hunt in Windham, Montana, this little old burg. They had all kinds of Easter eggs there on the ground, and they had all these little kids lined up, and I could see them on the lawn. You know, there must have been 100 or more of them, Wyndham's just a little town, and you get 100, 200, 300 eggs out there. That's quite a few. And then you get a prize if you get the right one. There's a number on the egg. And these Gentiles over there really knew how to hype a kid up, you know. Man, we were just out of our minds. So we're all there, and I'm getting ready to go. And they blow this whistle, and that means we're supposed to take off and do it. So I took off, and I started loading my shirt full of these eggs. And finally, I started getting burdened down with them because I was getting so many of them. And I looked around, and all the rest of the kids were just going round and round in circles, and they were wetting their pants. And I says, oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. I'm just staring at them. It was more fascinating to me to see this going on. They were spinning round and round in circles. I couldn't understand why they weren't interested in getting the eggs and why they were so hyped up. But you have to realize that in Wyndham, Montana, the circus never comes to town or the fair. And if you hear the sound of a whistle, it just hypes you right out of your mind, you know. You just had to just spin around. It was just so exciting, you know. They talked about the cars going over the dingers when they come in so that the people in the service station can tell that there's somebody out there. Nothing happened in town at all except when the man comes to load the cigarette machine or the pop machine or the candy bar machine. Boy, you just sit there and watch him do it, and you're like you're really learning something. But there wasn't even that in that town. So when that whistle blew, these kids really went out of their minds. They never even got one egg. Well, my mother told me to share the eggs with the kids because I had all the eggs. And I said, no, Mom, I got them. They're mine. And she started laughing. And I said, no. And so I kept them. And so I wanted to eat them all. So I did. And I thought they'd be different tasting because they were different colored. And every single one of those weasels tasted the same. And I kept cracking them open and tasting them. And they just kept tasting the same. Nothing was different. It was just all the same. And finally, I got so sick of hard-boiled eggs and that yolk in there that I got so sick, I turned green, and I couldn't even look at the moon for years because it reminded me of the yolk in that egg. So it's the same thing if you're married. You think that this woman or this man is going to be better than your husband or that he's got something that nobody else has got. But it's all the same, kiddo, all right? It's all the same. And then you're going to go to hell in the lake of fire for something that you've already got in your house. Like the man said on the television, if the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, then water your own grass. Take care of your own husband. And then maybe he will want to say hi, honey, give you a little squeeze when he comes in the door or a hug, and then spend some intimate time with you. Okay? Make sense?
Yes,
I think so. But if you don't, well, then the husband has the perfect right to put you in a ward if you are not due benevolence. And then also he has the right to put you out of the house. And there is no mercy. Jesus just said, you cannot put your wife away except for the cause of adultery. And adultery can be many things. And I saw in the Old Testament where this woman left. She was a concubine and she took off and went to her dad's house. And the Bible says that was adultery. You and your husband are one flesh. Amen?
Amen?
You don't belong anywhere else. And there's duties that the Lord has mapped out for the man. He's got to earn his living by the sweat of his brow. And so many people are not working. Machines do the work now. The sweat of the brow. There's so many people that are getting sick because they don't sweat. So many men. And those that don't sweat, go to a gym or something and sweat. Okay? Because it's an inbuilt nature of that God put in man that he has to sweat. All right? And it's supposed to be, and God put a natural thing in a woman, not to be out in the world competing with men or working while your husband stays at home and cooks the food and changes the diapers. That's not a man's job. I couldn't do that because I'm a real man, okay? I couldn't do a woman's job. And a woman shouldn't want to do a man's job. They just want to show, you know, that they hate men, and men want to show women that they want to hate women. But if people would get in line with God, men wouldn't hate women, and women wouldn't hate men because they say, wow, this is a nice arrangement here, the way that God planned it, everything, you know? So, you know, if you want to know, you don't have to listen to marriage counselors. Just open up the Bible and see what your duty as a woman is. You're not supposed to even listen to any other man. The Bible says for you to learn from your own husband. First of all, you're not to be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. So you shouldn't be married to a heathen, but if you get saved while you are, well, then you're supposed to stay with them until they depart. And then if they depart from you and they're not willing to live with you, then you have a right to marry again, but with a Christian man. It has to be a born-again Christian. But be careful. Get these things straight with someone that you want to marry before you marry them. Because if I was going to get married to a woman and she says, well, I want to stay at home and I want to be able to fellowship with men and all, I'd say, well, I'm not marrying you. Okay, because I'm not going to be married unevenly yoked with an unbelieving person. The Lord says that's the way you're supposed to be. And if you want to be some other way, then I'm not going to marry you. All right? And if she says, fine, I just want to do what I want to do. Well, then just do it. But realize one thing, you're going to hell in the lake of fire. Oh, because I won't marry you. No, I won't marry you is what I just got through saying, I would tell him. But, you know, you can see plainly what the Lord says that you're supposed to do in the Word, and you better do it because God is not a kidder. He's not kidding around. That's the way it is, and if you don't like it, and if you just want to do what you want to do, and you don't care, and you're not going to listen to your husband, and he said, or obey those that have the rule over you, the ministers, the pastors, well, then you're going to hell as well, because you're thumbing your nose at the Word of God, and the Bible says that the Word of God is God. Well, anyway, I see that our time is up, and
it's time for us to pray now. Those of you that want to be part of those that are going to be rejoicing when this Antichrist regime is over with, say this prayer so you can be saved. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father God, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit. Wash all my former filthy sins in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord and share and tell everybody how to receive a copy of this program, number 46.
Go to alamoministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California 90078. Or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
Make sure that you tune in tomorrow for another Pearl Harbor. And the Lord just loads me up with all sorts of commentaries on the way. And so you never know, according to these Vaticanites, what's going to come out of my mouth. So be curious. Tune in and see what the Lord gives me in Jesus' name. So until tomorrow, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, praise the Lord and God bless you. Amen.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.